California enjoys the reputation of having the most number of beautiful people in the nation. Just look around. It is human nature to be attracted to beautiful objects because beauty attracts. Today's message will help us to be just that, to be attractive. I would like to read John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Our text is up to verse 16. I would like to request you again to stand with me as we read our text in reverence to God's word. John 15, one to 16, as I've said, we'll just be reading verses 1 to 8. The word of God speaking, Jesus saying, "I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will even be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in me, in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned." God bless you. You may be seated. Today I'll be speaking on a fruitful vineyard. We can enjoy continuous vitality in our connection with God when we follow the three dimensions of spiritual fruitfulness. I invite you now to discover with me these three dimensions as reflected in your outline. Let's look at dimension number one. We call it the upward dimension. The upward dimension is the starting point. The essence of upward dimension is our need, number one, to remain in the true vine. We just read our text a while ago. For emphasis' sake, it says in verses 1 and 2, "I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off branches in me that bear no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Remain in me. I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit apart from me." The entire chapter of John 15, where our text is taken, are direct words of Jesus to his disciples and also to us today, followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you notice, there was urgency in the tone of Jesus when he spoke our text. Jesus' conversation with his disciples about the vine branch metaphor and analogy took place just 1 week before his death on the cross. He already had his Last Supper with his disciples and briefed them about his death a week from that time. Against this backdrop, Jesus had a heart-to-heart conversation with his disciples. With a tone of urgency, he exhorted them to remain in him the true vine. Grapevines are familiar sights in Israel at Jesus' time and, of course, up to now. In Israel, grapes begin to ripen in July and continue to bear fruit until October, but the peak is in September. California, or Californians, are quite familiar with the grapevines also. We are the leading grape producer of our nation. 6,726 tons of grapes yearly. Tons, 6,726. Jesus and his disciples are highly familiar with grapevines. As a matter of fact, the Jewish temple is decorated with a golden vineyard, according to Bible scholars. And Bible scholars suggest that John chapter 15, when Jesus spoke to his disciples, he reminded them of this motif, the decoration in the temple, and then the vineyard that is along the surrounding city of Jerusalem. The word remain in our text is used 11 times. It is used two times in verse 4, and then repeated again in verse 5, in verse 6, in verse 7, in verse 9. Altogether, it was mentioned 11 times. Remain in me, Jesus emphasized to his disciples. After Jesus' passionate plea to his disciples to remain in him, he gave them two compelling reasons of the necessity of remaining in him. He told them, you need to abide in me because I am the vine, the true vine, in verses 1 and 2. Jesus, using the metaphor, an analogy of branch, vine-branch relationship, he presented himself as the true vine, in contrast to another vine, which was Israel, who was unfaithful to God. Imagine the vine with me. You see it, the trunk, the branches, and then, of course, the leaves, and hopefully the fruits that we see. And because the branches remain connected to the vine, they continue to receive the needed nutrients from the vine to keep them healthy. The connected branch does not need to worry whether or not it will remain healthy, whether or not the needs will be met. Furthermore, the branch that remain in the vine does not need to worry whether or not it will bear fruit. What the branches need to be sure of is that they are connected to the source of life. What the branches need to do is to be sure they remain in the vine, the source of vitality and fruitfulness. Because the moment a branch is separated and disconnected from the source of life and provisions, you know what happened? The vine withers and eventually die. Jesus, therefore, is saying to his disciples then and to us today and to the branches, that is you and me, you want to be spiritually fruitful? Remain in me because I am the true vine. I am the ultimate source of your spiritual sustenance and all of your needs. The upward dimension does not only entail remaining in the true vine, but it also entails, number two, that we remain in the I am. Look at verses 1 and 5 and Exodus 3:13-4. Again, Jesus said, I am the vine. Verse 5, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Notice with me for a moment, friends, Jesus calls himself not only the true vine, but he addresses himself, the I am. So there is quite an emphasis here. I am the vine, and then he said, I am. God told Moses, tell my people, my name is I am. When my people ask, who sent me to you, tell them my name is I am. What a name! You know, there are sometimes unique and unusual names, but I believe the most special unusual name is the name of Jesus when he called himself I am. Do you know this name? It was used for the first time addressing to the God of Israel, to Yahweh. And then Jesus used it. And what is the point of Jesus when he used the word I am or the name I am? He was saying to them and to us today, I am not only the baby that was born in a manger. I am not only the Son of Man who will die on the cross a week from now. I have been in existence back in eternity. Though I will die on the cross a week from now, I will rise again because I am the resurrection and the life. I exist eternally, no limitation with my existence. As the great I am, Jesus is telling us today, I am not only the God of the past, but most importantly, I am the God of the present and the future. I don't die. I will always be here for you. I will be with you. I am here for a moment for you. I am here in the moment and in the present for you. I am here as you face the different challenges of your life that concerns you, your hopes, your dreams, your aspirations, your concerns about your health, about your children, about your spouse, about your job, about your plans, about your finances, about what's next for your career, your concern about your old age, your concern about your looming retirement and your ministry. I'm here to help you to be spiritually fruitful and to bear fruit. Look up to me, Jesus was saying. I am the vine. Remain in me. Because to remain in Jesus means to abide in his teachings and in the fellowship of fellow believers and to make intentional and consistent choices to apply the teachings of Jesus as we do our best to obey him fully day by day. Yes, the outward dimension of spiritual fruitfulness necessitates that we remain in the true vine, in the I am. Lastly, it entails our need, number three, to remain in the means of grace. The means of grace are our God-given mode of connection to God and to our church family, which are the Word, prayer. The Word and prayer. In verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Folks, let us view prayer as our opportunity to talk to God, to chat with him about how we feel, what we think about our joys, our sadness, disappointments, our needs. An important part of this chat with God is our expression of appreciation and worship to him. Let us not worry about words. He understands all types of communication. Talk to him like you talk to your friends on the phone, on the chat room, on the Facebook, Instagram, or when we meet them face to face. God is interested in our lives. And the good thing about it is God can keep secrets that we express to Him in private. He's not like Facebook, where sometimes our private information sometimes compromised. That's why the founder of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, what did I say? I just pronounced his family name, right? Maybe he's German. That is why Mark, what is his name? He's trying to fix it for the last week or so, you know. Another method of connection is networking to our spiritual family through church attendance. A gentle and timely reminder to all of us, Hebrews 10:24-25, Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, the word of the Lord. From the outward dimension, let us now move to the next dimension of spiritual fruitfulness, which is the inward dimension. The inward dimension consists of two parts. One, the paradox of pruning. From here on, will pruning, I'm referring to trimming. Imagine your favorite hairdresser holding a scissors. That's pruning or trimming. In verse 2, it says, He cuts off every branch in me that bear no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, trim, so that it will be even more fruitful. Growing grapes or grapevines require a lot of work. The ground needs to be thoroughly clean and prepared. William Barclay, a famous Bible scholar, asserts, drastic pruning is needed for the vine to produce the fruit it is capable of. And of course, Jesus was fully aware of required care and attention to produce desired fruits, especially that of pruning, when he used this illustration about the vine in our text. The purpose of pruning the vine is to direct the vine in a particular direction so that it will bear much fruit. There is the paradox of pruning. That is, pruning enhances rather than reduces fruit bearing, as explained in the preceding. What are God's instruments of pruning? I call them the word of life and the woes of life. Let us look at the word as a cleansing agent. Verse 3. It says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. In Ephesians 5:26, Paul echoes the same sentiment about the word of God as he categorically described it as water that cleanses and washes. The Heavenly Father is the gardener or caretaker of the vineyard. Grapevine needs much attention. They need a lot of sunshine and water in order to thrive and blossom and bear fruit. How does the Word of God clean or prune us as believers? The Word of God cleans or prunes the believer as he regularly partake and absorbs it, as the grapevine partakes and absorbs the dew from heaven and water from the gardener. Hence, the necessity of not only partaking of the Word, but by internalizing and demonstrating in one's beliefs, values, and behavior. This then subsequently produces spiritual fruits in our lives. The Word is not only a cleansing agent, but also serves as a mirror. James 1:22-24, please take note of the misprint. It says, do not only listen to the word, I read it to you. It says, but be a doer of the word. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at a mirror to himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. I believe most of us, if not all of us, used the mirror before we came here this morning. Can the ladies say amen?
Amen.
How about the men? Can they say amen to the ladies at home? I believe a good number of us spend a lot of time doing this, doing that. You know, you have heard our senior pastor in the past bragging that he got a lot of genes from my dad. You know, my dad loves to read, my dad loves to write, and very healthy. And another favorite habit of our dad, he loves the mirror. Now you know the secret of Pastor Fred's always looking sharp. Especially on Sunday morning. Because like Father, how about you, Pastor Abe? No comment. No comment. From the word of life, you got the application. It was very obvious. We now look at the woes of life as God's instrument of pruning. The woes of life are challenges that you and I face in life. We normally call them problems. I categorize them into two: relational woes and transitional woes. Let's look at the woes of life, starting with relational woes. John 15, 9, 10, 12. We'll just read verse 12. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. We have a question to settle here. Why did Jesus introduce the importance of love or human relationship at this point of our text suddenly? He just finished emphasizing the importance of abiding in him and in his word. All of a sudden, he gave the command to love one another. It seems like this love, interpersonal relationship, does not belong here. It's out of line. Just to remind you, we are still on the inward dimension of spiritual fruitfulness, particularly on pruning. Pruning through the word, as discussed earlier, and now pruning to the woes of life, especially relationships. The most important virtue in the Christian life, according to 1 Corinthians 13, is love. The Word of God says, three things abide: faith, hope, and... But the greatest of this is... You are awake. Thank you. Now, was Jesus out of line when he all of a sudden inserted interpersonal relationship? Of course, the answer is no, he was on target. Jesus commanding his followers to love one another in interpersonal relationship is within the total context of our text. That is the importance of abiding in him and the importance of pruning in order to experience spiritual health and fruitfulness. Therefore, the command to love is a test. The master teacher, Jesus, introduced a test in the middle of theory. It is a relationship test to prune us. How can you remain in Christ, who is love, when you have a relational problem in the relationship? When you only love the lovable, how can you win people to Christ when you yourself is unlovable and your relationship is problematic with your coworker, neighbor, friends, spouse, children, parents, relatives? Therefore, Jesus' test of love is indeed valid. How about transitional woes? They are the different events and circumstances, challenges, and crises that God allows for us to experience in the different seasons and developmental stages of our lives for a purpose. Say it with me, purpose. The best example of this is, of course, Brother Job. Job 23:10. Job states, "For he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as garbage." Is that what it says? "When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold." He was God's homie. God bragged him in chapter 1. He basically went through the transitional situations in life mentioned above more than basically most of us, or possibly most of us in this room. I don't need to repeat all the transitional woes of Job because we already know them. But the good news is this: Job finished well. You see that in Job chapter 22. Job had a good ending in his life. The question is, what was the secret of Job's recovery? How did he keep his spiritual sanity and spiritual fruitfulness? The answer can be given in one word: perspective. He viewed all the events, circumstances, crises, and adversities in his life that God allowed him to experience as he go through the testing and the pruning. Also, as an opportunity, perspective and opportunity. Opportunity for him to be a gold medalist in his faith, and as opportunity to be fruitful. Now, the tone of the text all of a sudden changes. The warning. There was a warning in the text. Remain in the vine and bear fruit, or face the consequences of spiritual fruitfulness and deterioration. The danger and process of spiritual generation is as follows. It starts with probation. Jesus uses probation also. Verses 2 and 5, it says, the Lord says, "He cuts off every branch in me that bear no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful." Let's look at the gradual degeneration in this warning. First, the unproductive branch or believer is placed, who is unproductive, is placed under probation. In verse 2, it says, "He cuts off every branch." In the NIV, it says, "cuts off." In other translation, it says, "takes away." According to other Greek scholars, the word "cuts off" or "takes away" as a probationary period, it should be even translated more accurately in the ancient Greek to be translated "lives up" instead of "cuts off." And this is the point. the unproductive, non-bearing branch. During the probation, is lifted up by the gardener so that it will receive more sunshine because it needs a lot of sunshine. Maybe the vine was crawling under a lot of big vines around it and it doesn't receive much sunshine, so that the gardener lifts it up. Hopefully, it will begin to be productive. So the Lord is gracious to us. He gives us probationary period to bear fruit and to continually remain in Him. But if that branch that is given probation does not continue to remain in Christ and bear fruit, you move to the next. There is now separation. That is the cutting. You see that in verse 2 and 6. The gardener, who is the Heavenly Father, cuts the believer who does not remain in Him and bear fruit. Now it does not stop there. After the branch is cut off, so that is the cut from probation to separation, and then from separation you have dehydration. What happens? The cut separated branch gradually withers. And then you know what happened last. There is combustion. That is the burning. That is a very diplomatic word for burning. It's strong. Withered, separated, withered, and then burned. That is the warning of the Lord Jesus Christ to His people. That's why we understand now why Jesus kept repeating, "Abide in me, abide in me." Because apart from me, you can do nothing. The last dimension of spiritual fruitfulness is the forward dimension. The forward dimension highlights the blessings of abiding in Christ. It depicts our spiritual progress and the kind of fruit that we bear as a result of our constant connection to Christ, who is the vine. Now, follow me now and observe with me the forward dimension here. C1, from a lack of obedience to a life of obedience. Learn from God's pruning and testing. Verse 14, Jesus said, "You are my branch. You are my," it says, "you are my friends if you do what I command." As a result of our constant connection to Christ through the Word as a cleansing agent and the testing of life God allows us to experience, we develop a loving relationship and connection to Christ. As a result, we would like to obey Him. The progression from a slave to a friend. Look at verse 15. "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends." Notice the progress of remaining in Christ here. Christ addressed his disciples, not only servants, but now he calls them his friends. What a promotion. Friendship speaks of intimacy and open access not enjoyed by a slave. There was a custom practiced both by the courts of the Roman emperors and the kings of the East, according to tradition. And this deals with the select group of men, the friends of the king or the friends of the emperor. At all times, they had access to the king, They even had the right to come to his bedchamber at the beginning of the day. He talked to them before he talked to his generals, his rulers, and his statesmen. The friends of the king were those who had the closest and most intimate connection with him. To those who have developed close connection to Jesus, the king, Jesus says, "You are my friends." From my way to God's way in prayer attitude, verse 16. Then I, the Father, will give whatever you ask in my name. Another blessing of remaining in Christ is positive answer to our prayer. The Father will give whatever you ask in my name. Now the question is this a blank check? It means as a result of your constant connection to Christ and his word and the lessons learned through obedience and testing of life, you develop a friendship relationship with him, intimacy with Christ. As such, you begin to sense his will and desires for your life. Consequently, when you pray, you develop a sensing of what he likes and what he does not like for you. You then will pray according to his will, not your will. And because of this, we will experience positive answer to our prayer. This is consistent in John 15:7. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be granted unto you." That is the context and background of that promise. Now finally, from fruitlessness to a life of fruitfulness. It says in our text, "This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." It is clear that God wants his followers to bear fruit, the natural and inevitable result of remaining in the vine. Jesus, who is Jesus, are fruits. Two kinds, qualitative and quantitative. Qualitative fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23, "But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." In essence, this fruit of the Holy Spirit is the description of the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the life and beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our qualitative fruit that is produced as we remain in the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you notice, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is actually the picture of the Lord, as I have mentioned a while ago. And because of this, when you and I develop this fruit of the Holy Spirit, when they are seen in our lives, what happened to us? We become more attractive. That's why I promised a while ago in this message how to become attractive. We can become attractive in Christ. This is the secret. We love to be around the people who are joyful, who are kind, who are patient, who are loving, who are faithful. And the reverse is true. And when we demonstrate this fruit as a result of our abiding with Christ, then what happens? Quantitative fruit. That is the people that we lead to the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and ordained you to bear fruit, fruit that remains, so that my Father is glorified." bear fruit. This is how it looks. We abide in Christ, in His Word, in prayer, in the fellowship of brothers and sisters. We allow God to prune our lives through testing, cleanse us through the Word on a regular basis. And then as a result, the life of Christ is begin to be formed in our lives. Then it is seen outside. And your friend at the office asks, "Whoa, what happened to you?" Your neighbor says, "Whoa, I noticed this to you." And then your relatives say, "Whoa, I observed that to you." And then that change in our lives that they see, it gives us a platform to share our faith, and then we produce from qualitative fruit to a quantitative fruit. We lead them to the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. By sharing our faith, we then become beautiful. We then become attractive because we live out the life of Christ individually and as a church. Yes, we can become beautiful as we remain in Christ.